Welcome to Climate Quickies, bite-sized nuggets of climate goodness from our TEDx London experts in under 5 minutes.
In this week's Climate Quickie, we hear from Zipporah Berman, the chair of the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty Initiative. Zipporah helps us break down why the words fossil fuel, coal, gas, and oil have been invisible in global climate agreements for so long, despite them being the main causes and drivers of climate change, and why there were over 600 oil and gas company executives at COP27 in Egypt, making up the single largest group of delegates at the meeting. Let's head over to Zipporah now to hear more, and remember, stay curious.
Hi, my name is Zipporah Berman, and I'm the chair of the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty Initiative. Climate change and climate policy and global climate agreements are complicated. But what's not complicated is that 86% of the emissions that are trapped in our atmosphere, creating a blanket smothering the earth and causing the extreme weather, the fires, the floods, and the droughts, come from three things: oil, gas, and coal. And we know that we have the ability now to replace oil, gas, and coal, and that they threaten our climate, but also our health. But strangely, fossil fuels have been invisible in global climate negotiations and almost invisible in climate policy. The most amazing and really shocking thing that I found out in my research is that the words oil, gas, and coal and fossil fuels don't even exist in the global climate agreement, the Paris Agreement. So while fossil fuels are the main cause and driver of climate change, at the Conference of Parties, the COPs, that happen every year, where countries come together to negotiate how to address climate change, fossil fuels are almost invisible, except for these last two COPs. So at COP27, there became a huge debate about whether to even include the words fossil fuels and an acknowledgement that we need to phase out of fossil fuels in the text of the agreement. And in fact, countries didn't. It was so controversial that only the word coal appears in the agreements. We still don't even acknowledge in the global climate agreements, despite the science, that we need to phase out all fossil fuels. So COP27 is the 27th time that countries have met to try and address the growing climate emergency. And you'd think that this would be governments trying to urgently address how to keep people safe. And they are. But what was really surprising at this last COP27 in Egypt is that one of the single largest group of delegates were oil and gas company executives. So there were over 600 executives from oil and gas companies who stand to benefit from our not addressing climate change. They were even oil and gas company executives on country delegations. That's like bringing the tobacco industry into a conversation about how to get rid of cigarettes. Gas companies will argue that they should be at these negotiations because they have a critical role in defining the world's energy future. But the problem is there is data now to show that these companies have been spending millions of dollars lobbying to weaken climate negotiations, to convince decision makers that we should put new projects in place. New fossil fuel projects, new expansion of fossil fuel infrastructure like oil drilling or fracking or pipelines. What we build today defines the world that we're going to live in tomorrow. So that having these companies at the table to decide the rules and laws and agreements that are going to be put in place to phase out a product that they stand to benefit from increasing just doesn't make any sense. The oil and gas companies say that they're now part of the solution, that they understand climate change, they believe in it, and they're going to be working towards solutions. When you look at the data of what they're spending money on, between now and 2030, the top 20 oil and gas companies plan on spending $930 billion in more and new oil and gas projects. If you look at their CapEx, the majority are spending less than 2% on solutions. They're still spending 98% on more and more fossil fuels. The good news is that the pressure is mounting on these fossil fuel companies. Even at COP, while we didn't get language about phasing out fossil fuels in the text, over 80 countries supported it this year. That's a big movement. It's a big shift. And the fact is that the trends are good. Renewables at scale are now cheaper than fossil fuels. And more individuals and scientists and countries are getting on board the idea for a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty. For the past 30 years, the fossil fuel industry has tried to make us feel guilty, to say that it's our fault because we use fossil fuels, and that makes people turn away from acting on climate change. Sure, we all need to do everything we can in our lifestyle. But more importantly is that we advocate to our governments to change our laws. Because if we have better laws in place, we have better systems so everyone can make choices that don't include fossil fuels. These issues can be overwhelming, especially when you're reading the news. A third of Pakistan underwater, fires sweeping the planet, the droughts in the Horn of Africa. People often ask me whether I have hope. One of the reasons I love working on the fossil fuel treaty is that I don't think hope is something that we have. I think hope is something that we create. We create it by our actions. We create it by being greater than the sum of our parts, by working together with people on a big, bold project that's commensurate with the scale of the problem. That's what gives me hope. A lot of people ask me how they can support us at the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty. All you have to do is go to www.fossilfueltreaty.org.
Thanks for listening to this quickie.
This episode was created by our superstar podcast team at TEDx London. Until next time,
stay curious.